Thank the Lord this morning for His love and thankful for all that He does mean to us today. And thankful that He is there in good times and in rough times, and He's there to still life see, and when He doesn't, He's there to still our spirit, even in the midst of turmoil. Thank the Lord for that this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers, we look into the Word of God. Written on the board, what meaneth then this? Would like to turn and consider a very familiar story found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Samuel said unto Saul, and this is King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. And remember that it was not God's desire for there to be a king in Israel. He wanted to be the one that was looked to as the head of His people, but because of their fleshly desires, God allowed them to have what they wanted. And so God chose the best that He could for the people of Israel to have as king. He found Saul, and Saul was a very tall young man. From everything that we know, he was a good young man. Someone that God, if God looked over and said, I'm going to choose someone to lead my people, if you really want it to be a man, this is the man that's going to lead you well. Someone that had a tender heart to the things of God. Someone that had a desire to please the Lord. And so this is the Saul that we are reading about. Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now you've been anointed king, but just because you are in a position of authority, listen to the words of the Lord. And the Lord said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. And the Lord gave instruction to Saul to go and destroy everything. Don't let anybody live. Don't keep anything. Don't keep any of the cattle. Don't keep any of the sheep. But I want you to destroy everything. Well, we read on down in verse 9. It said, Saul and the people. Now they went out to do battle and they won the battle. God was faithful to them. They won the battle. But it said, Saul and this people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, now, keep in mind that God had given some very clear instruction to Samuel. This is what I want you to do. I want you to destroy everything. Don't keep anything for yourself. Now the question before us this morning is, did Saul do what God had said? Is there any ambiguity in what God had given him to do? Is there any confusion this morning? Because I do want it to be clear. The Lord had very plainly said, I want you to destroy everything. I don't want you to keep anything. And we read now that Saul spared the king's life, and he also kept the best. In other words, the stuff that's not real good, we're going to do what God said. But the things that are best, it said they kept it, and they didn't destroy it. Now this morning, do you know that God has given us instruction in His Word of how He wants us to live? And there are some things in life that the Bible does not spell out. Fair is fair. There are some things the Bible does not spell out, but most of the things that are not spelled out in black and white, there are principles that the Lord gave in the Scripture that will give us, without ambiguity, the answer to the question, does God want me to do this or does He not? scriptural principles answer most of those questions. And the questions that are not answered, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to individually guide and lead us and direct us. And I am very thankful for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. When He comes in, and folks, the Holy Spirit still today deals without ambiguity. He still deals in a way that I can know the Lord spoke to me and He told me, Michael, I want you to do this. And as He has done sometimes, Michael, I want you to stop doing that. And I knew it was the Lord. The Lord has given us some very clear instruction. So, Lord, help us to learn from Saul. Saul kept the best for himself and for the people. We're going to read a little more about it. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he turned his back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." The Lord repented that He had set Saul up. And so Samuel got up early the next morning, and he rose to meet Saul. And it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on." And Samuel came to Saul, and this is what Saul said. Now keep in mind, Saul had very clearly disobeyed. You children know what it means to disobey? All right, there's a few of you that do. I hope all of you understand what it means. To disobey means, let's take home as an example, when mom and dad say, "I want you to take the trash out," and you know what they told you and you don't take the trash out, that is disobedience. Now, as adults, we sit back, yes, children need to obey. You know, but the Lord has given us some very plain instruction. And He came, and when the prophet was coming, Saul saw Him coming, and listen to what Saul said. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Sounded pretty spiritual. You know, I have met people that conducted themselves just like Saul. Clear violation of what the Lord says. There are people I know, and you do too, that are not saved and are far from God, but they can act and talk way more spiritual than you do. They've got the words, and you get around them, and they act like they are the most pious people. And it kind of leaves you scratching your head thinking, something's not lining up here. You talk like, blessed be thou of the Lord. I kept the commandment of the Lord. Well, the story doesn't end there, does it? It said, Samuel said, "What meaneth then this? Bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear." Because Saul just said, "I kept the commandments of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this? I hear the sheep and I hear the oxen." In other words, something's not lining up, Saul. You just said that you kept the commandment? Then what am I hearing? What am I listening to? And then Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared." Now, listen to Saul's answer. He clearly did not do what the Lord said. He disobeyed. Now, folks, do you know we've got, I think probably all of us here this morning, we know the right words to say. You know, whether we say them or not, we know the spiritual lingo, in other words. We know the things. Yes, Lord, I've kept the commandments. I am saved. And I'm doing what you want me to do, and Lord bless you that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the prophet I can just see him kind of cocking his head a little bit and say, "Well, Saul, what meaneth then this?" I'm a little confused. Samuel wasn't confused. He wasn't confused. But it's almost like, well, Saul, I'm a little confused. If you kept the commandments, then what's this? As parents, have you all ever done that? Your parents tell you, your children tell you something. It's kind of like, if you did what I told you, then what's this law? If you picked up your room, then what are your socks doing right there? And what are your coloring pages doing right here if you picked your room up? What meaneth then this? Did you clean your room? Oh, yeah, I cleaned my room. Well, it doesn't. The evidence doesn't show that you have. And so Saul took a very spiritual-sounding approach to his disobedience. You know, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. And I am very thankful the Lord is very merciful to us today. But sometimes we can know what the Lord has told us to do, and we can code it with all kinds of spiritual words, and I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm praying about it, and I'm seeking His face. And we know what He told us to do. What are we praying about? What are we waiting on? See, there's a place for praying and waiting on to know God's will, and there's a place of praying, Lord, I acknowledge what You told me to do. Lord, I need some help to do it. Now, I'm not having the power or the grace that I need. That's good. But we can, if we're not careful, we can use the spiritual lingo and come across this Saul, and this is what he said. He said, well, the people's spirit. Do you notice who Saul started talking about? God gave Saul the instruction. You be sure it's all destroyed. And now, when the question asks, what meaneth then this? It almost sounds like Eve, doesn't it? Well, Adam talking about Eve. You know, they both pointed fingers. You know, the devil, the serpent, and then Adam said, then Eve. Well, Saul said, well, the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and listen to the reason he gave. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we've utterly destroyed. Well, how can you get on to a man for doing that? I mean, this is a man that said, well, yeah, we kept the commandments, but we kept some back, and yes, they kept it back. For he was distancing himself. If the reason was really noble, yes, Lord, I kept him to sacrifice. But he was already putting some distance between that act of disobedience. Well, the people, but he still tried to make it sound noble. Do you know that people still in the relationship with God today sometimes try to make disobedience sound like the noble thing? Well, this is the reason I acted like that. This is the reason I did that, was because I think the outcome would be, are we doing what the Lord told us to do? And so then Samuel said unto Saul, he said, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night. And he said, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy sight, wast thou made the king, head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them. Therefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said, Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's still not acknowledging it. Samuel said, the Lord, when you were little in your sight, and you were dependent upon the Lord, and you obeyed the Lord, things were good. But now you've got exalted, and you're thinking that you know better. And he said, you've disobeyed the Lord. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great as delight, in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Doeth. he that doeth the will of the Father. There is a particular country that I have visited a couple of times. And I tell you what, those people can pray you out of the room. They are so eloquent. The way that they talk spiritually. I was on a public bus and they come in and have prayer on the bus before you get going. And I was just sitting there just, wow. It's like these must be spiritual people. They are just eloquent with their words. They are, there's lots of corruption that comes out of that country. You get lots of emails sent from that country. Lots of corruption. But I'll tell you, they can sound so eloquent. And they can sound so spiritual. And it took me a little bit to recognize you can't judge them based upon how they sound and how they respond. Because it's not enough for us to acknowledge the Lord this morning, because when Samuel said, what meaneth in this? In other words, if you had obeyed, what am I hearing? What am I seeing? And Saul offered excuses. He began to justify what he did. And then Samuel said, well, Saul, when you were humble and God blessed you and rewarded you, but you didn't obey. And then Saul responded again with more justification. He responded with more justifying. And then the Lord asked the question. He said, does the Lord have a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? That's a question for us to consider this morning. You know, this morning, the truth of this is still the same, that to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, let's go back to our example of the children. All right, children, when you get home, you need to empty the trash and clean your room. Okay? Your parents, let's say that's the instruction given. I want you to empty the trash and clean your bedroom. Very clearly, no ambiguity, you know what mom and dad have said. So you go home and you think, I really don't feel like taking the trash out. I'm going to clean my room later, so I'm going to go play. But first, you go outside and you pick a flower. You pick a flower and you come in, you give your mom a flower. Here, Mom, isn't that sweet? Trash is still overflowing. The room is still not clean, but you pick Mommy a flower. How can you get someone in trouble for that? That's kind of what Saul did. It's like God said, I want you to destroy it. Well, we're going to keep some and we're going to offer sacrifice. We're going to do something good with it. Do you know that that did not placate the Lord? All of the sacrifices, folks, that we can make, and all of the good things that we do, all of the areas that we are obedient. Well, Mom, I took the trash out, but you didn't clean your room. Thank you for the flower, but I told you to empty the trash and clean your room. And this Lord is saying still today, it is better to obey than to make sacrifices. And what we find, because we're human and so often we justify areas of disobedience, but you know, we don't even call it disobedience anymore because we know we're not supposed to disobey God. Is that getting too close to where we are? We know we're not supposed to disobey, so we kind of change the wording of it a little bit. It's like, well, I know the Lord wants me to do that. If you know the Lord wants you to do something and you don't do it, do you know what that's called? Yeah, it's disobedience in that sense. Now you know what God wants you to do, but delayed obedience becomes disobedience, doesn't it? Well, Mom, I was gonna clean my room. When? Well, tomorrow. Well, yeah. Delayed obedience is disobedience. But we know enough spiritual terms that we know we're not supposed to disobey God, so we tend to couch it differently. And I felt the Lord has just been burdening me with this to encourage us in our lives to obey the Lord. to obey the Lord. I can't come before the Lord and say, Lord, I sacrificed this for you, and I did this for you, and I gave that up for you, and I went and did that for you. So Lord, I'm a pretty good fella. I've done all of these things, and the Lord is still saying, what meaneth thou this? What meaneth then this? You didn't obey me. And Saul, the consequence was that Saul lost the kingdom from his family. See, Jonathan should have been the next king. And God said, I'm going to remove the kingdom from your house, and I'm going to give it to another. And do you know this morning there are still consequences for disobedience? And we look at Saul's life after this, and his life was so full of jealousy and pride and hatred. He was never at peace in his own spirit. Saul, there's a whole nother lesson in this, but because Saul disobeyed the Lord, he lost the peace in his own spirit, so he tried to make trouble in everybody else's life around him. And it was because he wasn't at peace in his own life with God. And so then he troubled those around about him. Do you know this morning that the Lord wants us to obey Him not out of fear, but because, number one, because we love God. And if we love the Lord this morning, I want to encourage us to be quick to obey the Lord. If you're struggling with something, and again, God is a merciful God, and I'm going to just personally say, there have been times the Lord has let me know, this is something I want you to do, and I struggle with it, and it comes to the place, the Lord says, okay, Michael, I told you what I wanted you to do. You can do it or not. And then it's like, okay, if I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. There's going to be consequences. And I can keep my profession. I'm the king of Israel. Lord, I'm doing all this. That's not the point. He said, I would rather you obey me than to give all of these sacrifices. That means, saints, that in the little things of life, let's stay sensitive to the Lord. You remember, in the scripture talks about how in Ezekiel 36:26, that He said He would give us a new heart and a new mind, I'll put within you. And He said, I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He's talking about, I'll give you a sensitive heart to the things of God. You remember when you first got saved? Do you remember when the Lord first really moved in your life and you were in that place to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Do you remember that time? Let's remember what Samuel told Saul, when thou wast little in thy sight. When you realize that, Lord, I need you so badly. I need you. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I need your help. You obeyed the voice of the Lord. But after you've lived a little while and been saved for a while, if we're not careful, folks, we'll stop being quite as sensitive to when the Lord says, that's not good for you spiritually. Oh, really? Oh, okay. We just go on our way. And I wonder what the Lord would say to us individually this morning if He were to walk amongst us and said, you say, oh Lord, I'm saved and I love you. It's like, well, that's good, but what meaneth this in your life? You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says, how to talk? And maybe you're right in the middle of a conversation and the Lord walked in the room. Kind of looks at it and says, what meaneth in this? If you're saved, and why are you talking that way? You know, you young people, you put your little headphones in, and the Lord comes along and says, oh, let me hear. Plucks it out of your ear and puts it in. Kind of looks at it and says, what meaneth in this? The Bible says to live a holy life, right? In every area, what you watch, what you listen to, where you go, how you dress, the attitudes you have, the entire being. We are called to be holy. And the scripture's pretty clear about that. Do you think the Lord ever asks in our life, well, what meaneth in this? I told you in the Bible what I wanted of you.
So why are you doing it differently?
Well, Lord, I'm a good person. I've been doing this and that. That's not the point. What meaneth then this? Why when you got away from church did you conduct yourself that way? Why were you listening to that? If you're living a holy life, then what meaneth then this? And the ways of the Lord, see, this is the issue with obedience. The ways of the Lord are right. The Lord did not come in and say, well, I'm the boss, so I'm just going to see what I can make life difficult for people to tell them do this and that. That's not what the Lord does. When the Lord told us to live a holy life, He taught us to forgive. He taught us to love. He taught us to dress modestly. He taught us to love or do good for our enemies. He taught us to abstain from all appearance of evil. He taught us all of these things in life. It was for our benefit. And if we will obey the Lord, we're going to be the winners. We're going to be blessed when we do what the Lord says. But when we start justifying, the Lord says, what meaneth in this? We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest so we can deal with that. You know, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Scripture in 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and folks, we are in the latter times. He said some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Folks, this is where deception happens. It's happened to congregations that still have the name Church of God over the door. That one time were sensitive and were obeying the Lord, but through time, they were desensitized. Well, that's really not that important. That really doesn't matter. The Spirit of God is saying, it matters because I told you in the Bible to do it this way. That's why it matters. We live in a time where people are justifying all kinds of unrighteousness in their life, calling evil good and good evil. And we say, well, that's horrible. But folks, we can talk about the world, but what about in my own life? What about in my own family? What about in our congregation? What about in the body of Christ? Are there areas that maybe we're not quite as sensitive and diligent about? And the Lord comes along and says, what meaneth in this? That doesn't line up with what the Bible says. And it's not about blaming anybody else. It's not about pointing fingers and saying, well, they or them or... That's when we just need to do what David said and said, Lord, I'm the man. When the prophet showed him the problem in his life, he acknowledged it. Folks, the Lord is very merciful. But we need to exhort. The Scripture says to exhort one another daily. And I'm just in the love of the Lord this morning exhorting us. I'm exhorting myself as well. Exhorting us today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's not be hardened by what the world is doing, but folks, let's stay sensitive, our conscience tender, and know the Scripture says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall what? Eat the good of the land. So if you want the good of the land this morning, it's not going to come by disobedience. It's really not an issue if I look and say, you know what, I really don't think that's as important. You know, some people really stress this from the Bible, but really the Lord's looking at my heart and I love the Lord and I'm a good person and I'm not out, you know, seems I'm not out killing people and I'm not out committing adultery and I'm not out doing these egregious sins and I'm not out doing those things and so it's all right. But the question is, what did the Lord say? What does the Bible teach? And the Lord then says, what meaneth thou this? You say you're saved? You say you have the Holy Spirit? Then why are you going there? Why are you listening to that? Why are you acting like that? You know, the Lord in His mercy gives us opportunity to fix things. I'm so thankful for that. I wouldn't be here if He didn't. Would you all? I wouldn't be here. It's been His mercy when He comes back and says, Michael, did you hear what I said? Yeah. Okay. so let me start making some changes then. When the Lord comes along and says, what meaneth then this, Michael? What's this doing in your life? All right, Lord, let's be obedient children. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. Whether you agree with what they've told you to do or not, obey your parents. Saints, let's obey God. Whether we understand it or whether we really think it's the best thing sometimes, it is the best thing. Because God's up here, we're down here. He's given us the right way. So I'd just like it if you would just take this little thought with you this morning. What meaneth in this? Listen to the Spirit of the Lord and let's be faithful, obedient children.